This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why confronting toxic traits requires clarity before the conversation starts. Get clear on what you're confronting before you say a single word. In short, after reading this, you will know how to prepare for a conversation about toxic traits in a way that protects the outcome before you say your first word. Get absolute clarity on the specific behavior, its impact, and your desired outcome before you speak. Use the core framework to build your conversation on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. Separate the person's character from the behavior you are confronting. Definition: confronting toxic traits means directly addressing specific, repeated destructive behaviors in another person, naming what the behavior is, explaining the harm it causes, and requesting a concrete, observable change. It is not about labeling a person's character. You have sat across from someone whose behavior is corroding everything around them. You know what needs to be said. You have rehearsed it in your head at 2 in the morning. Then the moment arrives, and the words come out wrong. Or worse, they do not come out at all. You leave the room having said nothing, and the behavior continues. This is not a courage problem. It is a clarity problem. Most people walk into conversations about toxic traits without knowing precisely what they are confronting, what outcome they need, or how to separate the behavior from an attack on the person. When that preparation is missing, the conversation collapses under its own emotional weight. The Anna Dahler hijack takes over, words sharpen into accusations, and suddenly you are in a fight rather than a conversation. If you have ever struggled with avoiding difficult conversations altogether, you already know how quickly avoidance becomes its own kind of damage. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for confronting toxic traits that you can use immediately, built on a framework I have refined across 6 decades of hard conversations. Why confronting toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing that you need to address destructive behavior and actually being able to do it well are 2 entirely different things. The gap between them is wider than most people expect, and falling into it does not mean you are weak. It means you are human. Here is what makes this genuinely difficult. You cannot always name the behavior precisely. Toxic traits often feel like a pattern before they look like a specific incident. When someone is consistently dismissive, subtly undermining, or chronically blame-shifting, you feel the damage long before you can articulate exactly what happened. Without a clear, specific example, you have nothing concrete to stand on. You fear being seen as the problem. Many people hesitate to raise toxic behavior because they worry they will be labeled as difficult, sensitive, or politically motivated. That fear keeps the conversation locked inside your head, where it grows louder and more distorted over time. Learning to recognize when conversation avoidance is costing your team is the first step to overcoming this. You conflate the person with the behavior. When someone has hurt people around them repeatedly, it is almost impossible not to see them as the problem rather than the behavior. But attacking character ends conversations. Naming behavior opens them. Emotions spike the moment you begin. Even with the best preparation, the moment the other person pushes back, your nervous system shifts into threat mode. The amygdala hijack described in Signs Your Team's Amygdala Hijack Problem is destroying synergy in real time, can undo minutes of preparation in seconds. You do not know what you are actually asking for. Going in without a clear desired outcome means even a successful conversation produces nothing actionable. You need to know what change you need before you can request it. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. These are not steps. They are preconditions. Without them, nothing that follows will hold. Number 1. A specific, observable behavior. You need to be able to point to real incidents, not general impressions. You're always negative is an opinion. In yesterday's meeting, you told a junior colleague their idea was stupid in front of the group is a fact. Ground your conversation in what actually happened, not in what it felt like. Number 2. A clear and realistic desired outcome. Before you sit down with the other person, you need to know precisely what you are asking them to change. The outcome must be specific, realistic, and actionable. Be more professional is not an outcome. When you disagree with a colleague's idea, address it privately rather than publicly is. This much I know for certain: a vague ask produces a vague result, and usually a defensive one. Number 3. Emotional readiness to hear them out. You are not walking in to deliver a verdict. You are walking in to have a conversation. That requires genuine willingness to listen, even to pushback you find frustrating. If you are too angry or too hurt to hear the response without escalating, wait until you are not. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the behavior exactly. This step is the entire foundation of the conversation, and most people rush it or skip it. You cannot confront a feeling. You cannot confront a reputation. You can only confront a specific, observable action. Before you say a single word to the other person, write down what they did, when they did it, who witnessed it, and what impact it had. Not what it suggested about their character, what they actually did. Write one clear sentence describing the behavior using only factual language. Remove every evaluative or emotional word from that sentence. Hostile, disrespectful, toxic are your interpretations, not facts. Note at least 2 specific incidents where this behavior occurred, with dates if possible. Write the observable impact separately, what changed in the room, the team, or the work as a result. Read your sentence back and ask, could the other person deny this happened? If yes, find more specific language. Example, instead of you undermine me in front of the team, try this. In Monday's project meeting, you interrupted me 3 times before I finished my point. 2 team members stopped contributing after that. The first version invites denial. The second version invites a conversation. When you have a clean, specific behavioral statement, you have solid ground to stand on. Without it, you are building on sand. Step 2. Apply the core framework to build your approach. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce a core framework, a 4-pillar system for navigating difficult conversations built on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy, applied in sequence. I developed it because relying on instinct in emotionally loaded conversations is like trying to navigate a storm without a compass. As I write in Chapter 2, a framework is your compass. It is a simple, memorable, and repeatable system that you can rely on when your instincts fail. When you are preparing to confront toxic traits, the core framework gives you a structure that holds even when your emotions do not. Build your clarity by completing the clarity checklist, your core message in one sentence, your desired outcome, your supporting examples, your personal motivation for having this conversation, and your readiness to listen. Practice openness by writing down one thing the other person might say that you have not fully considered. This is not about agreeing with them. It is about not being blindsided. Commit to respect by checking your language for anything that attacks character rather than behavior. If your draft sounds like a verdict, rewrite it. Prepare your empathy by using the empathy bridge before you deliver your message. Acknowledge the other person's situation or perspective briefly. This lowers their defenses before you knead them down. Review your clarity checklist and verify each of its 5 items is complete before you schedule the conversation. Write one empathy bridge sentence you can use to open something genuine, not flattery. Confirm that every word in your core message describes behavior, not character. This framework is covered in full in Chapter 2, Say It Right Every Time, where I walk through each pillar with scripts and real scenarios. The framework becomes the spine of everything that follows. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Write your opening line before you walk in. The first 30 seconds of a difficult conversation determine whether the other person listens or defends. This step is about writing and rehearsing your opening so you do not improvise it under pressure. Most people think they will find the right words in the moment. They will not. When you're face to face with someone whose behavior has been damaging, the emotional charge in the room is high. You need your opening already built. Write your opening in full sentences, not bullet points or mental notes. Use the standard script from Chapter 2. I'd like to talk about a specific topic. It's been on my mind, and I think it's important that we discuss it. Do you have a few minutes to talk now? Follow the opening immediately with your core message statement. My core concern is one sentence. The reason this matters is your why. What I'm hoping for is a specific outcome. Practice saying it aloud at least twice. Not in your head. Out loud, so your voice carries the tone you intend. If you know this person tends to become defensive quickly, add an empathy bridge sentence before your core message. Script example. I'd like to talk about what happened in Monday's meeting. It's been on my mind because I think it affected how the team felt for the rest of the day. Do you have a few minutes now? My concern is that when I was interrupted before I finished my point, it made it harder for me to do my job effectively. I'm not raising this to assign blame. I want us to find a way to work together that lets both of us contribute fully. That opening is calm, specific, and direct. It is also how to start a difficult conversation that actually goes somewhere. Step 4. Prepare for pushback without abandoning your position. Here is the truth of it: the other person will almost certainly push back. They may deny the incident. They may redirect to your behaviour. They may go quiet in a way that feels more threatening than anger. If you have not prepared for this, the pushback will knock you off course. Preparation here does not mean scripting every possible response. It means knowing your position well enough to hold it calmly when challenged. Write down the 3 most likely responses the other person will give, and a 1-sentence reply to each. Practice the 3-second pause from "say it right" every time when emotions spike mid-conversation. Pause 3 full seconds before you respond. This micro-intervention interrupts the amygdala hijack and brings your rational thinking back online. Prepare an acknowledgement line for when they share their perspective. "Okay, I hear you. So what you're saying is summarize their point. Do I have that right?" If the conversation escalates, use the postpone option. "I think we're both too emotional to have a productive conversation right now. Can we agree to talk about this tomorrow at 10 a.m? Decide in advance what a successful outcome looks like so you recognize it when you are in the room. Many people walk away from a good conversation thinking it failed because they expected perfection. Pushback is not failure. It is a conversation doing what conversations do. Your job is to stay grounded, not to win. Step 5. Close the conversation with a concrete agreement. A conversation about toxic traits that ends without a clear, specific agreement has not actually ended. It has just paused. The behavior will resume because nothing changed except the atmosphere. Your closing is where the real work of the conversation gets locked in. Without it, you have aired a grievance. With it, you have created accountability. Summarize what was agreed using this formal closing script. "Thank you for this discussion. To summarize, we've agreed that specific behavioral change. I appreciate your willingness to work through this with me." If no agreement was reached, use the close without agreement script. "It's clear we're not going to solve this today. Can we agree to think about it and talk again on Friday?" Name a specific, observable action the other person has agreed to take. Not a feeling or an attitude, an action. Set a time to follow up. "Can we check in on this in 2 weeks? This signals that the conversation is not a one-off, and it creates natural accountability. Write down your summary of the agreed outcome immediately after the conversation ends, while it is fresh. If a dispute arises later, you have a record. Example: "So to make sure we're on the same page going forward, when you disagree with an idea in a group setting, you've agreed to raise it with the person privately first. Does that sound right to you?" "Good. Let's check in on Thursday and see how it is going." That is the difference between a conversation that changes behavior and one that simply releases pressure. Closing well is everything. If you want scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group dynamics, those resources will serve you well alongside this process. Adapting this process for high-conflict individuals. Some people who display toxic traits are not just difficult. They are genuinely high-conflict in their responses. They escalate quickly. They reframe every concern as an attack, and they may use the conversation against you later. This context requires adaptation, not a different process. Document everything before you speak. With a high-conflict individual, your behavioural examples need to be airtight. Write them down with dates, times, and witnesses before the conversation. If a dispute arises later about what was said or done, documentation protects you. Choose your setting deliberately. A one-on-one conversation in a private space is usually best. Avoid confronting high-conflict behaviour in group settings, where the person may feel cornered and perform rather than engage. Consider whether a neutral third party should be present. Keep your language strictly behavioural. High-conflict individuals are particularly skilled at turning any generalising statement into proof that you are biased against them. The more specific and behavioural your language, the less surface area they have to work with. Common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team dynamics often stem from exactly this kind of vague, characterising language. Set clear limits on the conversation scope. If the person redirects to other grievances or to your behaviour, you can say, "I hear that you have concerns about that too, and I'm willing to discuss those separately. Right now, I need us to stay focused on what I've raised. Then return to your core message. Know when to involve a third party. If previous direct conversations have failed or if the behavior crosses into harassment or policy violations, loop in HR or senior leader. That is not a failure of the process. It is the process working correctly. The core framework does not change in high conflict situations. Only the execution tightens. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often when people attempt to confront toxic traits. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: attacking the person's character instead of naming the behavior. Why it happens. When you've been hurt by someone's behavior for a long time, the anger feels personal and the language follows. What to do instead? Write your core message before the conversation and remove every word that describes who they are rather than what they did. Stick to observable actions only. The mistake: going in without a clear desired outcome. Why it happens. People focus so much energy on finding the courage to start the conversation that they forget to decide what they actually want from it. What to do instead. Before you schedule the conversation, write one sentence describing the specific behavioral change you're requesting. That sentence is your North Star. The mistake: over-explaining and losing the thread. Why it happens. Anxiety drives people to justify themselves at length, which dilutes the core message and gives the other person openings to argue with minor details. What to do instead. State your core message in one sentence, give one or two specific examples, and stop. Brevity signals confidence. The mistake: allowing the conversation to be postponed indefinitely. Why it happens. Both parties often feel relief at the idea of continuing this later, but later rarely comes, and the behavior continues unchecked. This is one of the passive-aggressive patterns that silently erode team dynamics. What to do instead. If the conversation needs to be rescheduled, agree on a specific date and time before you leave the room. Vague postponement is avoidance with better manners. The mistake: accepting a vague response as agreement. Why it happens. After an emotionally difficult conversation, both parties want to believe it is resolved. A non-committal "I'll think about it" can feel like a yes when you need it to be one. What to do instead. Ask for a specific commitment. What will that look like going forward? What is one concrete thing you will do differently? These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have written down the specific behavior, not a general impression or character assessment. I have identified at least two concrete incidents with observable details. I have completed the clarity checklist core message, desired outcome, supporting examples, my motivation, and my readiness to listen. My desired outcome is specific, realistic, and actionable. I have written and practiced my opening line aloud. I have prepared an empathy bridge sentence to use before my core message. I have written down the three most likely pushback responses and a calm reply to each. I know which closing script I will use to summarize any agreement reached. I have set a follow-up date to check on progress after the conversation. I have removed all character-based language from my prepared statements. I'm emotionally ready to hear the other person's perspective without escalating. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a concrete process for preparing to confront toxic traits, one built on specificity, structure, and respect. You can walk into that conversation with a clear message, a realistic outcome, and a framework that holds when the emotions run high. Here is what this process gives you. Name the specific behavior, not the person's character, before you say a word. Use the core framework to build your conversation on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. Write and practice your opening line so you do not improvise under pressure. Prepare for pushback without abandoning your position. The 3-second pause is your reset button. Close with a specific, observable agreement and a follow-up date, not a vague sense of relief. In high-conflict situations, tighten your documentation and narrow your language. The framework holds. Clarity before the conversation is not optional. It is what makes confronting toxic traits possible at all. Where do you go from here? If the behavior you're confronting is subtle and hard to name, read how to recognize when conversation avoidance is killing your team's synergy to sharpen your instincts. If you want word-for-word language for the most common scenarios, scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy will give you exactly that. For the complete framework behind this process, including every script and the full clarity checklist, the detail is in Say It Right Every Time. Preparation is not timidity. Preparation is how you earn the right to be heard. Frequently asked questions. What does confronting toxic traits actually mean in practice? Confronting toxic traits means addressing specific, repeated destructive behaviors in another person directly and respectfully. It is not about labeling someone or attacking their character. It means naming the behavior, explaining its impact, and requesting a concrete change in how they act. Why is confronting toxic traits so difficult to do well? Most people either avoid the conversation entirely or enter it emotionally unprepared, which causes the discussion to collapse into blame or defensiveness. Without a clear desired outcome and a behavior-focused message, confronting toxic traits tends to escalate rather than resolve the problem. How do you prepare for confronting toxic traits in a colleague? Write down the specific behavior, its observable impact, and the change you need to see. Separate the behavior from the person's character. Rehearse your opening line and decide what outcome you're actually asking for before the conversation begins. Can confronting toxic traits backfire? Yes, and it usually does when the confrontation is emotionally driven or vague. Attacking someone's character instead of naming specific behavior triggers defensiveness. Entering the conversation without a clear desired outcome leaves both parties worse off than before the discussion started. What is the core framework for difficult conversations? The core framework is a four-pillar system for difficult conversations built on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. Developed in Say It Right Every Time, it gives you repeatable structure so you do not have to rely on instinct when emotions are running high. Should you address toxic traits directly or involve HR first? Start by assessing whether a direct conversation is safe and appropriate for your situation. If the behavior is a pattern, a direct conversation with preparation is often more effective and faster. Involve HR when the behavior crosses legal or policy lines, or when previous direct conversations have failed. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.